53. When the governor of Mozambique had offered Flynn a captaincy in the army of Portugal, there had been an ugly scene. Flynn felt strongly that he deserved at least the rank of colonel. He had suggested terminating their business relationship. The governor had countered with an offer of major and signalled to his aide-de-camp to refill Flynn's glass. Flynn had accepted both offers, but the one under protest. That was 7 months ago, a few short weeks after the massacre at Lalapanzi. Since then, Flynn's army, a mixed bag of 100 native troops, officered by himself, Sebastian and Rosa Oldsmith, had been operating almost continually in German territory. There had been a raid on the Songea railway siding where Flynn had burned 500 tons of sugar and nearly 1,000 of millet that was in the warehouses awaiting shipment to Dar es Salaam, supplies badly needed by Governor Shea and Colonel Letao von Forbeck, who was assembling an army in the coastal area. There had been another brilliant success when they had ambushed and wiped out a band of 30 Ashkari at a river crossing. Flynn released the 300 native recruits that the Ashkari were escorting and advised them to get the hell back to their villages and forsake any ambitions of military glory, using the corpses of the Ashkari that littered the banks of the ford as a tangible argument. Apart from cutting every telegraph line and blowing up the railway tracks they came across, the other three raids had met with mixed results. Twice they had captured supply columns of bearers, carrying in provisions to the massing German forces. Each time they had been forced to run as German reinforcements came up to drive them off. The third effort had been an abject failure, the ignominy of it being compounded by the fact that they had almost had the person of Commissioner Fleischer in their grasp. Carried on the swift feet of the runners who were part of Flynn's intelligence system, came the news that Hermann Fleischer and a party of Ashkari had left Mahenge Bomba and marched to the confluence of the Ruhaha and Rufiji rivers. They had gone aboard the steam launch and disappeared into the fastness of the Rufiji Delta on a mysterious errand. "What goes up must come down," Flynn pointed out to Sebastian. "And what goes down the Rufiji must come up again. We will go to the Ruhaha and wait for Herr Fleischer to return." For once, there was no argument from either Sebastian or Rosa. Between the three of them, it was understood without discussion that Flynn's army existed chiefly to act as a vehicle of retribution. They had made a vow over the grave of the child, and now they fought not so much from a sense of duty or patriotism, but from a burning desire for revenge. They wanted the life of Hermann Fleischer in part payment for that of Maria Oldsmith. They set out for the Ruhaha River. As happens so often these days, Rosa marched at the head of the column. There was only the long braid of dark hair hanging down her back to show she was a woman, for she was dressed in bush jacket and long khaki cotton trousers that concealed the feminine fullness of her hips. She stepped out long-legged, and from her shoulder the loaded Mauser hung on its strap and bumped lightly against her flank at each pace. The change in her was so startling as to leave Sebastian bewildered. The new hard line of her mouth, her eyes that gave off the dark, hot glow of a fanatic, the voice that had lost the underlying ripple of laughter. She spoke seldom, but when she did, both Flynn and Sebastian were forced to hear her with respect. Sometimes listening to that flat, deadly tone, Sebastian could feel a prickle of horror under his skin. They reached the landing place and the jetty on the Ruhaha River and waited for the launch to return. It came 3 days later, heralding its approach by the soft chugging of its engine. and when it came round the river bend, pushing briskly against the current, headed for the wooden jetty, they were lying in wait for it. "There he is!" Sebastian's voice was thick with emotion as he recognised the plump, grey-clad figure in the bows. "The swine! Oh, the bloody swine!" And he jerked the bolt of his rifle open, then snapped it shut. "Wait." Rosa's hand closed on his wrist before he could lift the butt to his shoulder. "I can get him from here," protested Sebastian. "No. I want him to see us. I want to tell him first. I want him to know why he must die." The launch swung in broadside to the current, losing its way until it came in gently to nudge the jetty. Two of the Ashkari jumped ashore, laying back on the lines to hold her, while the commissioner disembarked. Fleischer stood on the jetty for a minute, looking back down the river. This action should have warned Flynn, but he did not see its significance. Then the commissioner shrugged slightly and trudged up the jetty towards the boathouse. "Tell your men to drop their weapons into the river," said Flynn in his best German as he stood up from the patch of reeds beside the jetty. Hermann Fleischer froze in mid-stride, but his belly quivered and his head turned slowly towards Flynn. His blue eyes seemed to spread until they filled his face, and he made a clucking noise in his throat. "Tell them quickly, or I'll shoot you through the stomach," said Flynn, and Fleischer found his voice. He relayed Flynn's orders to the Ashkari, and there were a series of splashes around the launch as it was obeyed. Movement in the corner of his eye made Fleischer swing his head, and he was face to face with Rosa Oldsmith. Beyond her, in a half-circle, stood Sebastian and a dozen armed Africans, but some instinct warned Fleischer that the woman was the danger. There was a merciless quality about her, some undefinable air of deadly purpose. It was to her he addressed his question. "What do you want?" His voice was husky with apprehension. "What did he say?" Rosa asked her father. "He wants to know what you want." "Ask him if he remembers me." As he heard the question, Fleischer remembered her in her nightdress, kneeling in the firelight, and with the memory came real fear.
"It was a mistake," he whispered. "The child, I did not order it."
"Tell him," said Rosa. "Tell him that I am going to kill him." And her hands moved deliberately on the Mauser, slipping the safety catch across, but her eyes never left his face.
"It was a mistake,"
Hermann repeated, and he stepped backwards, lifting his hands to ward off the bullet that he knew must come. At that moment, Sebastian shouted behind Rosa just one word, "Look!" Around the bend of the Ruhaha River, only 200 yards from where they stood, another launch swept into view. It came silently, swiftly, and at its stubby masthead flew the ensign of the German Navy. There were men in crisp white uniforms clustered around the Maxim machine gun in the bows. Flynn's party stared at it in complete disbelief. Its presence was as unbelievable as that of the Loch Ness monster in the Serpentine or a man-eating lion in St. Paul's Cathedral, and in the long seconds that they stood paralysed, the launch closed in quickly on the jetty. Hermann Fleischer broke the spell. He opened his mouth, and from the barrel of his chest issued a bellow that rang clearly across the water.
"Killer! They are Englishmen!"
Then he moved. With three light steps, he danced sideways. Incredibly quickly he moved his gross body from under the threatening muzzle of Rosa's rifle and dived from the jetty into the dark green swirl of water below the boards. The splash of his dive was immediately followed by the tack, tack, tack of the launcher's machine gun, and the air was filled with the swishing crack of 100 whips. The launch drove straight in towards them, with the Maxim blazing on its prow. Around Flynn and Rosa and Sebastian, the earth erupted in a rapid series of dust fountains. A ricochet howled dementedly. One of the gunboys spun on his heel in a brief dervish dance and then sprawled down the bank, with his rifle clattering on the wooden boards of the jetty. And the frozen party on the bank exploded into violent movement. Flynn and his black troopers ducked and dodged away up the bank, but Rosa ran forward. She reached the edge of the jetty unscathed through the hailstorm of Maxim fire. Then she checked and aimed the Mauser at the wallowing belly of Hermann Fleischer in the water below her. "You killed my baby!" Rosa shrieked, and Fleischer looked up at her and knew he was about to die. A Maxim bullet struck the metal of the rifle, tearing it from Rosa's hands, and she staggered off balance, her arms windmilling as she tottered on the edge of the jetty. Sebastian reached her as she fell. He caught her and swung her up onto his shoulder, whirled with her and bounded away up the bank, running with all the reserves of his strength unlocked by the key of his terror. With 10 of the gunboys, Sebastian took the rear guard. For that day and the next, they skirmished back along the line of the retreat, briefly holding each natural defensive point until the Germans brought up the Maxim gun. Then they dropped back, retreating slowly while Flynn and Rosa made a straight run of it. On the second night, Sebastian broke contact with the pursuers and fled north towards the rendezvous at the stream, below the ruins of Lalapanzi. 48 hours later he reached it. In the moonlight, he staggered into the camp and Rosa threw off her blankets and came running to him with a low, joyous cry of greeting. She knelt before him, unlaced and gently drew off each of his boots. While Sebastian glugged the mug of coffee and hot gin that Flynn brewed for him, Rosa bathed and tended the blisters that had burst on his feet. Then she dried her hands, stood and picked up her blankets. "Come," she said, and together they walked away along the bank of the stream. Behind a curtain of hanging creepers on a nest of dry grass and blankets, while the jeweled night sky glowed above them, they gave each other the comfort of their bodies for the first time since the death of the child. Afterwards, they slept entwined until the low sun woke them. Then they rose and went down the bank together naked into the stream. The water was cold when she splashed him, and she giggled like a little girl and ran through the shallows across the sandbank with the water bursting in a sparkling spray around her legs, drops of it glittering like sequins on her skin. Her waist was the neck of a Venetian vase, flaring down into full double rounds on her lower body. He chased and caught her, and they fell together and knelt facing each other, spluttering and laughing. And with each gust of laughter her bosom jumped and bounced. Sebastian leaned forward, with the laughter drying in his throat, and cupped them in his hands. Instantly her own laughter ceased. She looked at him a moment, and then suddenly her face hardened, and she struck his hands away. "No," she hissed at him, and jumping to her feet she waded to where her clothing lay on the bank. Swiftly she covered her femininity, and as she strapped the heavy bandolier of ammunition around her body, the last soft memory of their loving was gone from her face.